Hello and welcome back to another episode of A Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan. I'm here with Big Cass. And Big Cass, we are officially credentialed members of the Ohio State media. We will be covering baseball and softball in the spring. I'm stoked. So I guess this is a baseball podcast now.
Yeah, it's going to be baseball / softball, depending on what games we can get for softball. But hats off to Alex Morando, who's the head of the media cartel at Ohio State for baseball. And I sent him an email last week about getting credentialed, and his response to us was, thanks for the email, and we have your credential ready for you for the season. It'll be located at the media entrance gate down the third baseline at Bill Davis Stadium. So,
don't you find it interesting that there's a Bill Davis Stadium and like that's the name of the former linebackers coach? I just found that interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. Bill Davis at stadium at Nick Swisher Field. I ain't gonna lie, I shed a tear a little bit because, you know, as passionate as I am for the Buckeyes, I'm probably, no offense to Dan, but I'm probably a little bit more passionate when it comes to Ohio State University because it doesn't matter what sport it's on. I just love the university, even though I'm not a graduate there from there. It's just the love, and basically, I'm like the Urban Meyer. I got a degree from somewhere else, but I love Ohio State. I mean,
you're an honorary graduate in my eyes, Cass.
Thank you very much. But I'm pretty stoked about Big Sports Bulletins and A Bunch of Nuts headed to Bill Davis Stadium for the season. Now, the season does start in a couple weeks, but games are all out in California and Florida, where it's warm. So we'll have to, you know, study hard on the Buckeyes before they head home for some for Lipscomb is the first matchup in March.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to do our homework on the baseball team, but I know last year they're a pretty solid team. They made the NCAA tournament. They lost to, it was one of the North Carolina teams. Was it UNC?
Coastal Carolina.
Coastal Carolina, that's it. Yeah, they lost to them in the tournament, and I think then they played South Carolina and then lost to them.
Yeah, they beat Coastal Carolina, and then it took three games to beat Coastal Carolina, and then it might have been Coastal Carolina. It was one of them South Carolina teams. And then they played South Carolina Gamecocks. Keep in mind, this was the Columbia bracket, and I think they got swept the first two games.
Yeah, they definitely lost their first two games. But I'm not going to lie. The bracket they were playing in, the Columbia, was it the Columbia or Greenville?
I think it was Greenville.
It was. I'm pretty sure it was a Greenville, yeah. It was the Greenville bracket. And it was like, it was so weird because it was three North and South Carolina teams and then Ohio State. So it's like, you know, Ohio State had to travel all this way to the Carolinas. Meanwhile, these teams are basically an hour two away. I thought it was just kind of unfair the way they got seeded.
Well, and they were the lowest seed in the bracket of that bracket. And, you know, I think they knocked off the number one seed. And I remember correct me if I'm wrong, I'll have to, you know, we'll have to do a little more research. But I remember watching one of the games, and they took them to, like, the 11th or 12th inning, or there was a delay or something. But it was a very long baseball game.
Oh, no, it was a South Carolina game, I'm pretty sure. That was a good game. Whoever started pitching, like, pitched pretty well. But it was just Ohio State couldn't really get enough runs. I think they were up, like, 1-0 into, like, the 6th or something. And then South Carolina broke it open near the end, but
yeah, it was one of those games, but I'm ready for a fantastic season of baseball. But before we get into baseball, we have a lot to talk about.
Specifically, the basketball team, which is, Cass, man, I have no idea what is going on with Holtman's squad. I mean, I'm beginning to miss Thad Mata now because it's kind of like the season's kind of derailing at this point. And from the beginning of the season, I thought it was going to be a magical year. I thought the Buckeyes really had a chance to make it to, like, the Final Four. But it appears they might not even make the NCAA tournament.
I think they'll make the NCAA tournament. I mean, this is a tough stretch that they got to get. They've got to get one of these next two games, that either against Nebraska or Michigan is going to get tough. But after that, I mean, they got a rematch against Rutgers place. They got Illinois coming up. You know, I think Northwestern, Penn State hasn't won a game in the in the Big Ten, but the Big Ten is probably is the best conference in my opinion. Top to bottom, it's deep. I think Ohio State overachieved at the beginning of the season, and they're starting to come to life. And Caleb Weston can't get out of foul trouble. C.J. Jackson and Keyshawn Woods are just, where are they?
C.J. Jackson played like 34 minutes last night, Cass, and he only scored 7 points. He was 2-for-7 on the night, 1-for-3 field goal. I mean, nowhere to be seen. I mean, I like the freshman Jadon Leedy. He didn't score any points, but Ohio State's going to have to use him more when Wesson gets in foul trouble.
Yeah, now that Kyle Young's out, and the thing that, like I said, you know, like I've been hearing in Stan Jackson, I know 105.7 the Zone was Buckeye legend Stan Jackson pointed out and said, you know, with Chris Holman's got to make a change, and Keyshawn Woods and C.J. Jackson are obviously not playing well right now. I think you need to move Dwayne Washington into the starting lineup.
Well, he did start yesterday. He did start.
Yeah, I think he needs to play a little bit more. I mean, I know he's starting getting acclimated because I think that he could become that number two scorer, and that's what's hurting the Buckeyes is because they need the guy like last year, for instance, last year we had Kade Bates-Diop and Jayshon Tate. One of those two guys were in trouble, the other one could bail them out. This year, we don't have that. And that's what's hurting this basketball team on top of the past couple games I've seen. They're averaging 15 to 19 turnovers in a game.
Well, you know, too, what's killing us about the Kade Bates-Diop and Tate leaving? Those two guys were huge in the post. I know Caleb Wesson is a monster, but he can't do it all. Kade Bates-Diop, he provided a ton of length. You know, you could put him at the four on defense, and he could basically guard anyone in the conference because he's so lanky. Jayshon Tate was basically a power forward playing the three. And, you know, he really could lock down the post too. So you lose two of your best rebounders. I know Caleb Wesson, he's good, but I thought Tate and Kade Bates-Diop were just as good as Wesson rebounding. Now, Ohio State needs to find, I think, someone else besides Caleb Wesson who can rebound. Kyle Young is that guy, but he's obviously he's hurt. I think they need to play Justin Ahrens more because last night, dude, he showed up finally. I think we're beginning to see Justin Ahrens, you know, really show up. I think he's beginning to transition into a you know, a more mature basketball player because, you know, it's halfway through the freshman year, and, you know, He recorded 5 rebounds in 17 minutes. He finished, I think he led the team. No, he didn't lead the team. Musa Diallo actually led the team with 6.
I think, too, with the rebounding, you need that guy. I believe it or not, a lot of people look at me funny, but missing Micah Potter hurts right now, and I can't believe I said that.
It kills us. Micah Potter would have been so valuable to have right now. I think he might be kicking himself that he left the team because I think he really missed a great opportunity to really, you know, make a name for himself this season.
And I think he had the Tate Martell factor that I don't think he wanted to compete with Kyle Young, and Kyle Young started off so good. And Andre Wesson shot the ball better, but if we could get Luther Muhammad and Dwayne Washington, you know, I know they're freshmen, but if we can get them start scoring a little bit more and find that number two guy for scoring, I think the Buckeyes will be all right. But they got a tough one against when they go to Lincoln this weekend, and I think they'll get it done. I think eventually something's going to happen and they're going to get it done. One of these two games are going to get done. I think the best case scenario is they beat Nebraska. I mean, actually, best case scenario, they get their season turned around and upset Michigan.
If they could beat Michigan, that's a huge win, Cass. Like, that would put them back in the tournament probably because you're beating a top two, top three team in the country.
Yeah, I think just just getting a win. I think we start off right now, just go down to Lincoln, get a win, get that confidence back up before you head into Ann Arbor.
The good news here is, though, Big Cass, is although it appears, you know, the season's kind of unraveling, it's all right. Because you know what, Ohio State fans? This year is a rebuilding year. I know it pains me to say this, but when you lose Kaita Bates-Diop, you lose Jayshon Tate, you lose Cam Williams, you lose Andrew Dockich, those are four leaders that, you know, you just don't replace overnight.
Right.
Next season is the season where Ohio State basketball, we're going to learn if this team's going to be, if this program's going to be for real or not, because you got E.J. Little coming in, D.J. Carton,
Alonzo Gaffney,
and then C.J. Walker. He's going to be eligible to transfer from Florida State. With all that happening, you know, and all those three recruits are top 30, ESPN top 36 recruits. So these are really, really good recruits.
And I think one or two of them got, it might be a McDonald's All-American. Also, on top, like, if you could think about on top of that for next year, the Weston brothers, because I think Caleb would be back. He's still got a lot of work on. Kyle Young, Luther Muhammad, Dwayne Washington, Jason Ledee, and the other guy, Arons.
I'm telling you, Arons, I'm really impressed with. I know his brother plays for Michigan State, or his cousin or something, one of his relatives. Arons has really, really impressed me yesterday. I had no idea he could play like that. And I kind of wish he shot. There came to a point in the Purdue game yesterday where he hit two threes, he got the ball, and he looked like he was going to shoot it. The crowd wanted him to shoot it, and he passed it. I wish he shot that, because he was on fire yesterday.
Yeah, and I think next year's squad, I think we overachieved at the beginning of the season, which might squeak us into the tournament. Because right now we're still a tournament team, despite the five straight losses. But we got to get a win in the win column. Just going final, I know it's not men's, but Ohio State women's drops to 7-10 for the season. They dropped to 17-2 Maryland, 70-57. Ohio State women's basketball is also on a rebuilding year. They got some things to work on, but they got a good recruiting class coming in next year. But that just went final. So
I'll tell you what, though, Big Cass, they have two really good freshmen who paved the way in that unreal comeback victory last week against the Penn State. They had like a 1% chance of winning, and I forgot the names of these two freshmen. I gotta look them up, but those two girls were fantastic.
Janie Cromes led the league with. Led the game with 27 points. Janie Cromes is the one that was number. She had 27 points. Can't think of the other girl's name.
Was it Dorca Juhas?
Yes.
She's a beast too. Like, and Michaela Waterman's a good player too. I mean, the Ohio State women's team has talent, but I mean, obviously, when you lose Kelsey Mitchell, like. Yeah, Stephanie Mavanga. It's hard to replace that. It's kind of like what the men's team's going through with Kaita Bates, Diop, and Tate and Cam.
But with the women's, they are not playing well right now, and neither is the men's. But the men's at least overachieved at the beginning of the season. So,
agreed. Moving on, I guess, from basketball. Man, dude, Terry McLaurin. I know it's NFL mock draft season and the combine season, but if you haven't been watching parts of the Senior Bowl, listeners, go on Twitter right now or go on NFL Network. Watch the Senior Bowl practice highlights. Terry McLaurin. It looks like he's gonna be, you know, a round three or four pick now with his performance. I mean, Cass, have you seen him? He's a stud.
Yeah, he. They clocked him running 23 miles an hour on a route.
Woo.
And that's booking it. And they're talking about how he's maybe squeaking up into the second round, late second round. He could be a steal, good leadership guy, but he is really putting it on the NFL Combine, and I'm proud of Terry McLaurin, one of my favorite Buckeyes on this past year's team.
You know, too, though, a lot of the things he did, I feel like, kind of, I didn't appreciate it watching it, but now that I'm watching him work, like trying to make an NFL team. He's a stud. I mean, like, I tweeted this today, but great hands, like, hands, check. Route running, check. Special teams play, check. Blocking, check. I mean, the only thing you can really knock him on is maybe, you know, he's a little on the smaller side. They measured him at 6 foot even, but that's not really small for a receiver. That's about just average height. I mean, he's not going to stand out physically, but everything he does on the field, though, is just fantastic. Did you see him running down on the punt team? Two guys are trying to cover him, and he just put a quick move, inside move on him, burnt them, untouched.
Yeah, I mean, he played a lot of special teams at Ohio State, and that's what just separates him from everybody else, in my opinion. And I think that's Terry McLaurin's going to – him and Paris Campbell, and I think somebody's going to take a chance in Johnny Dixon, too, in the late rounds. But I can honestly see Terry McLaurin and Paris Campbell – a bulk of the Buckeyes might be taken in the second and third rounds.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can totally see this right now. I really think Terry McLaurin is going to either be a Patriot or a Saint.
I hope he's not a Patriot.
I just feel like Bill Belichick would love a guy who can play special teams like that. Like, at very worst, he could be like a Matthew Slater type.
I mean, look how long. I mean, it is. I mean, you got to agree. Look how long Nate Ebner's played for the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about that special teams.
So, speaking of mock drafts, I've got the latest by CBS Sports. Has two Buckeyes getting taken in the first round. Obviously, number one in every mock draft, and I don't care what anybody says. I mean, it's in everybody's mock draft. And wouldn't be surprised if he's not the number one player taken. It just all depends on the combine. But we know Nick Bosa is going number one in the Cardinals.
Yeah, I have WalterFootball.com pulled up over here. I know a lot of people say, oh, why do you listen to Walter Football? I like Walter Football. I think they have the best mock drafts, but they too have Nick Bosa number one.
And then going down here, and I would love this. As much as I would love to see this, I don't think it's going to happen. But Dwayne, because I don't think he's going to fall this far, but Dwayne Haskins getting selected number 11 to my Cincinnati Bengals. And read this article, you know, this kind of cracks me up. According to CBS Sports, this happened today or yesterday. It says number 11, Cincinnati will take Dwayne Haskins. Shocker. Keep in mind, Andy Dalton is over 30 now, so he's not going to magically become an all-pro, and he has zero dead money left on his contract. Drafting Haskins will give Zach Taylor a chance to work with Dalton now and groom Haskins for later.
I can't believe Dalton's over 30. That's kind of surprising to me.
He's my age. So, I mean, I would absolutely love this. You match him up with Tyler Boyd, AJ Green, Joe Mixon.
John Ross. I'm still high on John Ross. I've always been high on him.
John Ross, the 90,000 Tyler tight ends that we've got.
Uzama and Eifert.
Billy Price.
Yeah.
But the problem is who would protect him? And they don't, other than Billy Price, who struggled last year because he was hurt, and he struggled with some packages, but he was a rookie. He'll get better. But that offensive line was atrocious, and I'm sorry. Andy Dalton's been a Pro Bowl quarterback. He's still got some wheels left on that arm. You get him some more protection, and I think Dalton will be all right. But I think the Bengals would have to take almost offensive linemen unless they go and pick Michael Jordan in the second round or some of these other guys that are up there. But they need some more interior guard protection. And as much as I love seeing this, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to fall that far because I see the Giants and WalterFootball.com. It has him going sixth to the Giants. And then it also has an interesting pick here. The Browns taking Draymond Jones overall, taking Draymond Jones with the 17th pick. I found that interesting. I guess the logic here is, oh, Denzel Ward was a Pro Bowl player. Let's keep taking the Buckeyes now.
Yeah, here it has the CBS has Cody Ford from the Browns taken. Since we are, you know, part of Big Sports Bulletin, let's take a look at some of the Northern school teams. The Browns obviously taking at number 17 on my list. Cody Ford from Oklahoma. The Detroit Lions at number 8 taking Ed Oliver at Houston, which would be huge for Detroit. They have no pass rush whatsoever. By the way, they have for the Giants ahead. New York Giants. Kellen Farrell from Clemson.
I actually wanted to bring this up too. Sorry, I cut you off there. Kellen Farrell, or was it Clellan or Kellen?
Clellan.
I thought it was Cleland. His name's so confusing to me. But man, I gotta ask this question, and it's kind of been haunting me as a Buckeye fan, obviously. But when you watch Nick Bosa, and everyone's saying he's the clear cut number one overall pick, and I think he's probably the second best defensive end. But when you watch the national championship big cast, and you saw what that Clemson defensive line did to Alabama, and Alabama has a mammoth line, and they didn't have Dexter Lawrence. Do you think Clellan Farrell and Christian Wilkins, do you think like they could be better than Nick Bosa? Because I think you could make that argument that maybe Clellan Farrell or Watkins, whatever one, you have to see which one measures better. But I think one of those two could be honestly the best defense ends in the draft.
It's very possible. I think Nick Bosa's measurables make him the best, and what he did at Ohio State. And think about it. I honestly think if he didn't get hurt, we would have been in the playoff and been undefeated. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, the Purdue game would have been a lot different, I think.
Yeah, and I think a lot of things would be different, but because Bosa was just hands down the best player in the college football, in my opinion. But yeah, right. You know, all in all, you get him in the right packages and get him in the right system, you very well may could. Quinnen Williams would go to the Jets at number 3 for defensive lineman at Alabama. Some other northern Midwestern teams also that are in the Big Ten area. Green Bay Packers, Deontay Thompson. They're assuming that the Redskins would trade their pick to the Packers. Minnesota Vikings, Byron Murphy, Washington. I think he struggled against the Buckeyes. I mean, he really struggled.
This mock draft I have here, it has Walter Football has Rashawn Gary going number 4 overall to the Raiders.
Yeah, mine too.
I'm sorry. You can't look me in the eyes and tell me Rashawn Gary has produced more than either of the 3 Clemson defensive line guys. Like, I would rather take Farrell, Lawrence, Wilkins, Quinnen Williams, even from Alabama, before Rashawn Gary. And Ed Oliver. I mean, Ed Oliver, I like, but I think he's a little undersized, and I don't know if he's going to, like, he didn't play the greatest competition at Houston.
No, he didn't, and I think that, I think Ed Oliver could have been I think Ed Oliver's top 5, in my opinion. I think his attitude is what drops him.
I mean, this class is so deep at defensive line, though.
Yeah, it's a deep class. That's why, like, in my mock draft, doesn't he have Draymond Jones being taken in the first round, so.
And that's crazy. Most years, Draymond Jones would probably be, you know, the 3rd, 4th best defensive lineman easily. He's not even, like, top, like, 5 or 6. I mean, it's Bosa, the 3 Alabama guys I got, Williams, Ed Oliver, Rashawn Gary, I guess. I don't see what the hype is about Rashawn Gary, though.
They're talking about Josh Allen from Kentucky being a linebacker or slash defensive end. So it's very deep at the edge rushers and D-line. So, but switching gears, good luck to the rest of the Buckeyes. But Ryan Day, man, what did Ryan Day has his first coaching staff.
And you know what? I like it. I don't know if I love it yet, but the staff is set. And I'm going to read it off to you right now, Big Cass. So, who's returning? Tony Alford, running backs coach. Brian Hartline, the wide receivers coach. He got promoted from interim wide receivers coach in December. That's a no-brainer. Kevin Wilson, he's going to be the tight ends and offensive coordinator. Greg I can't even pronounce his name. Greg Stadrara, offensive line.
I don't know how about that.
The offensive line definitely underperformed last year, but I don't see why they'd get rid of him because they weren't great, but you really can't blame him when Isaiah Prince was, you know, having like 3 or 4 false start penalties a game. That just at that point's the player.
Yeah.
I'm sure at practice, you know, he probably like kicked him a couple times or like made him run laps. It just comes to a point where there's only so much a coach can do.
Right.
Larry Johnson, he's a defensive line coach, and he got promoted to associate head coach. I love that he got promoted. But the new assistants, Big Cass, here we go. Mike Yurcich, he's the quarterback's coach and passing game coordinator. I have no idea what passing game coordinator means. I guess it just means you get to yell at anyone who drops a pass.
Well, I think what it means, too, is him and Kevin Wilson's in charge of the running game, and I guess Yurcich is in charge of the passing game. So, passing situations, we got Yurcich. Honestly, all in day, I think Ryan Day will be a lot of the play calling. So,
agreed. Jeff Hafley, he's going to be the co-defensive coordinator and the secondary coach. I like that hire. I think that's honestly the most underrated hire of the season for the Buckeyes. I know a lot of fans weren't sure about this guy, but if you look at his resume, he's coached a lot of great defensive backs, and I think
look what he did with San Francisco. He had old Richard Sherman and some no-name guys, and they were 9th in the league in defending the pass in a division where there's Russell Wilson and Jared Goff. And Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, no, I mean, he did a great job. The more I read about this guy, the more I like him. Like, you know, he coached Logan Ryan and Daron Harmon and Revis and Sherman. So like two of the best corners of this generation, and then two other really good NFL players. So I think I'm really excited to see what he can do with Okuda, Wade, you know, Fuller in his senior year, Brendan White, Isaiah Pryor, Arnett. Yeah, I mean, he has the talent. So he has the talent there. So I think he's going to make the best of it. And I really think we're going to see this Ohio State secondary under him be elite next season.
If not, close to it.
Yeah. Then we got Greg Madison. He's the co-defensive coordinator. Nothing else, just co-defensive coordinator. Al Washington, he's going to be the linebackers coach. I love that hire. I can't wait to see what he does with Malik Harrison and Tuff Borland.
And Baron Browning and a lot of those folks. Pete Werner, who's a great practice player. Can he develop him into a better game player?
Justin Hilliard. I'm sure he'll see more time.
Micah Tirada, I think his name.
Taraja Mitchell. Oh yeah, I can't wait to see what he does with him. He's a thumper too. He drops people.
So I think with getting Greg Masson is basically Al Washington's mentor, so it was like a 2-for-1. So I like the hires. Can't wait for the staff. I can't wait for spring ball.
We're forgetting Matt Barnes, special teams coordinator. Yeah, and he's going to be the assistant secondary coach. He's coming from Maryland. I'm not super familiar about how good Maryland special teams are. I'm not like super analytical with them, but I do know this: they did return a kick for a touchdown against Michigan this year. So I'm sure that probably influenced Ryan Day a little bit, because when he was hiring these coaches, you can tell he was really trying to go at Michigan. You know, poaching two of their guys and taking a guy whose unit had success against the Wolverines. That's my take on it. I really think he's preparing to, you know, continue the streak against that team up north.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's going to be fun to see. I know this ain't Ohio State news or anything, but it came up on my news feed. Joe Montana is heavily investing in the marijuana business.
That's so random.
Yeah, like, it's probably the most random things I've seen, but Funny stuff. Funny stuff.
I wonder if he's ever done it. Like, I feel like Joe Montana has no idea about weed or anything.
Well, he's investing in the business, so let's see.
Let me pull this up. Joe Montana.
TMZ reported it.
TMZ, all right. I gotta admit, TMZ, they're decent when it comes to celebrity stuff. But every time I see TMZ Sports, like, tweet something, it's always, like, a bombshell report. Like, it's either, like, a Kareem Hunt or Ray Rice video or something. Like, I don't know how TMZ Sports always gets this stuff.
Maybe Brett McMurphy should write for him.
No. TMZ is above that. And I don't think you ever would hear that muttered from me. Oh, I gotta mention this tweet, though, Big Cass. This is the anti-Cardale Jones tweet of the week. This might be the worst take I've seen ever. This dude, Dylan Green, tweets, Dwayne Haskins, 1, weaker arm than Cardale Jones. 2, less accurate than JT Barrett. 3, not as athletic as Braxton Miller. So please tell me what makes him a top 10 or even a first-round quarterback. I mean, all right, number 1, weaker arm than Cardale Jones. They're about the same. And Cardale Jones has a rocket. That's like, if you have a weaker arm than Cardale Jones, that's really not like a knock. Like, I think like 99% of the population has a weaker arm than Cardale Jones.
Right. Speaking of Ohio State football and stuff, I just saw on Twitter that Ohio State has offered, yes, this is his name, Jimmy Christ, defensive lineman from Virginia. He's a 2020 top USA Today player, Virginia. First team All-State, USA Today, Virginia. So Jimmy Christ, I don't know if he has a relation to Jesus Christ.
Holy spiritual.
But he's been offered to play for the Buckeyes.
I hope we get this guy. Imagine, you know, you had Steel Chambers, Jimmy Christ, all these names get better and better by the year, man. I love it.
Yes. I've been saving that tweet. When you're getting ready to talk tweets, I had to tweet it just because of his name. So
Jimmy Christ. I mean, I'm not gonna lie though, it'd be so awesome if he went to Notre Dame because they're Catholic and all that. Like,
yeah.
I feel like that'd be a good fit for him, but let me look at this guy right here. Jimmy Christ, Dominion Football. Oh, John 3:16, like the Tebow game. First team All-State, USA Today, Virginia, class of 2020. Looks legit.
Yeah, and another kid.
He's been offered by Wake Forest, too.
Yeah, and another kid.
And Purdue. That's
offered by Ohio State.
Who?
Lathan Ransom, a wide receiver, I believe, 21st in his 21st Division I offer. Ohio State had offered him. He's a number one safety coming out of Arizona.
Well, I also saw last week Marvin Harrison Jr. got offered, and the quarterback he plays with. Forgive me as I pull up the quarterback's name, but I feel like a bad person because I know it's just Marvin Harrison Jr., but his quarterback from high school also got offered.
I like the Lathan Ransom. That's an awesome name.
That's
and Jimmy.
Yeah, that's a good name. I Jimmy Christ is an all-timer.
Yes.
Jimmy Christ is like when you play Madden franchise mode and you're on your fifth season and the computer generated names start getting crazy. Like I remember in like, I think it was Madden 2010 or 11, there was an offensive lineman after you got like, you know, into like the first couple, past couple seasons in your franchise mode, his name was Tractor Taylor and he was a 6'7" guy from like Iowa or something. And it was just awesome.
Probably a black guy with blonde corners or something like that.
No, it was like it was a big farm boy. Tractor Taylor. Like, it was a play on Tractor Trailer, but Tractor Taylor. I loved it. It was awesome. And then they had Tom Tebow, too. It was a quarterback, like, exactly like Tim Tebow, but it was Tom Tebow.
That's hysterical.
or tree bow or something. These are almost like, I feel like I'm at the point in life where like these recruits' names are beginning to get like that.
Yeah, everything, just like NCAA football, all the names were pretty hysterical.
Jimmy Christ.
Jimmy Christ, everybody.
Oh, man. I hope he comes to Ohio State so bad.
Yeah, I do too.
Amazing.
Think about what the students could do for that.
I don't know. I mean,
and they would try to convince him to grow long hair and have a beard.
I bet you we can get Tennessee Jeff to dress up as Jesus.
Speaking of Tennessee Jeff, he's the GOAT.
What's he up to? We need our weekly Tennessee Jeff update.
I don't know. I know he was complaining about the weather or something like that last week. I know he just posted the Ohio State loss last night and said, WTF, man. He posted, if this flag is... if this flag offends you, then your team sucks. I think he's hanging out with his door. An article, Michigan's 2019 class moves up after final top 247 release, and he posted this 5 hours ago. Here we go once again. Our rival, the undisputed champion of January, February, March, and April, but when it matters the most on that Saturday after Thanksgiving every year, they do the same thing. Lay a bleep egg.
I saw him going down, yeah.
Also, he must be sick because he says, excuse me while I pick up my damn lung off the floor. I just coughed up this book. And I guarantee it, this the way he was talking. He said, this will be awesome. Shared the wrestling matchup, Ohio State versus Michigan this weekend. So he's probably going to go there.
Good for him. He's living his best life. Moving on from that, I got to mention, we haven't touched upon this, but Dwayne Haskins is hanging out with Johnny Manziel today. They're not hanging out. They're not like partying. They're like training, it looks like, but I found that interesting. What's your take on that?
I don't know. And let him be. There's no way Haskins is going to be a Manziel 2.0, but
no. No, and I think a lot of people kind of overreact about that because, you know, Lamar Jackson has hung out with him before. I know Baker Mayfield's met him before. It's not like a big deal. I saw some of Buckeye Nation on Twitter was kind of overreacting a little bit. I think it's going to be all right. They're not going to be partying and stuff. Johnny Manziel's too. He's calmed down a lot.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, let's talk about these NFL championship games that happened over the weekend.
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, what a weekend of football. Like, yeah. I as a non-fan of any of the four teams, that was awesome.
Yeah, I think the ending of the Rams-Saints game could have been a lot better, but I'm going to tell you, the AFC Championship game was probably one of the best games I've seen in a long time.
I mean, yeah, Mahomes, you know, leads him for a comeback. And, you know, Brady, he gets the ball, marches down the field, gets the lead, and then with like 30 seconds left, Mahomes drives him down for the field goal. And then, of course, though, you knew when Tom Brady got the ball in overtime, it's over. You know they're not punting. You know they're going, they're playing for four downs.
You could talk about the bogus roughing the passer. I mean, you know, that's Tom Brady. It's Tom Brady. He's going to get those calls. The bogus offsides penalty. But keeping in mind, Gronk and Edelman tore them up in the overtime. Went right down the field and scored. The Saints game, New England going to the ninth Super Bowl. Keep in mind, Tom Brady has been to more Super Bowls than any other team in the National Football League.
That's crazy. That's amazing. And I heard on the radio today, Mike Francesa said he would rather have Joe Montana than Tom Brady because Joe Montana, quote unquote, never lost a Super Bowl. And like, when you go to 9, though, you're going to lose at least one. Like, that logic is so dumb.
Well, Joe Montana was the man. Like, Joe Montana was able to do what he did in an era that didn't protect the quarterback as much, wasn't a very quarterback-driven league. I mean, Montana was the guy in the 80s and late 70s, but he's not the greatest of all time. I'd still take, I mean, in a Super Bowl, it'd be hard to tell between Brady and Montana just because.
He also had Jerry Rice, though. He also had.
Yeah. And two different eras, too. I mean, so, but Joe Montana, I mean, not Joe Montana, but Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. As much as it pains me to tell you, say that, been to 9 Super Bowls, coached by one of the greatest coaches. I mean, you could throw Belichick, the reason why he's one of the greatest coaches, because he had Tom Brady. Well, Tom Brady, he could, the reason why he's the greatest quarterback is he has Belichick. My question to everybody is, if Tom Brady was coached by Marvin Lewis, would he been to 9 Super Bowls or would he had won 5 Super Bowls?
He'd have 9 playoff losses and no wins.
I would say if Tom Brady was on the Bengals, coached by Marvin Lewis, I'd say we'd maybe have 1 or 2 Super Bowl wins and that's it.
Yeah, I don't. I that's so hypothetical. I don't know. I don't think the Bengals win a playoff game. Still, that's just the way it is.
I think they do. I think they do win a playoff game because we never had that really established quarterback. I mean, Carson Palmer. We could have beat the Steelers in 05, but Carson Palmer went down, and that was the year that we could have done it. Do you give Tom Brady, Chad Johnson, T.J. Uzmanzadeh, and Rudy Johnson? We win a playoff game and maybe a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But, now, go to the Saints game.
I mean, I feel bad for the Saints because they got robbed. But it's not like, I feel like they could have managed that situation so much better.
Yeah, they could have. That pass interference was the worst call in NFL history, and that's what turned the game around. That's what made that game not as great as the other one. But they laid an egg after that. Didn't do anything. Drew Brees threw a crucial interception. They couldn't stop Jared Goff in the offense. I mean, Brandon Cooks tore him up. I mean, granted, there was some bitter issues right there. It was, you know, because with Brandon Cooks being traded. But I think the Saints ruined that. Don't file a lawsuit on this. Get over it. I know you're going to play the stupid Super Bowl from 2010. Get over yourself. You had a chance to win in overtime. You had a chance to do something after that, and you blew it.
Oh, did you not see Ben Watson's letter?
No.
Oh, Mike, this is ridiculous. So, obviously, Michael Thomas. I love Mike Thomas. He's been tweeting about, you know, oh, this special rule that, you know, the commissioner can make him replay the game or something. You know, the Saints fans are trying to sue the NFL. Now, like an hour or two ago, Ben Watson came out and wrote a letter. He writes, this is to Roger Goodell, Ben Watson, the Saints tight end, you know, former Patriots tight end. I think he played at Georgia. Commissioner Goodell, we all realize that football is an imperfect game, played, coached, and officiated by imperfect people. What occurred last Sunday in New Orleans, though, was outside of that expected and accepted norm. Your continued silence on this matter is unbecoming of the position you hold, detrimental to the integrity of the game, and disrespectful and dismissive to football fans everywhere. From the locker room to Park Ave, accountability is what makes our league great. Lead by example, we are waiting. Okay, nice job, Optimus Prime. I guess the Autobots are coming to the Earth now. Like, it sounds like Optimus Prime, like, we are here, waiting.
I do get where he's coming from, because ever since Roger Goodell has changed the league, he's been so hypocritical about different, not hypocritical, but nothing is, what's the word I'm trying to say, you know, man, where, you know, what's the word where, you know, you call it one way, but you don't call it the other way, you know?
Unbiased?
No. Oh, my gosh.
Fair or balanced? No. Balanced?
Balanced, yeah, that's, you could say that, like, nothing is Oh my gosh. We say it about the targeting penalty all the time.
The targeting penalty. Oh,
the word that we say.
Leading with the head?
I don't know. It's a word. Ah, man, I'm stumped, man.
Intent? I don't. You're drawing me. This is a blank. I'm drawing a blank now here, big cats.
Basically, I get where he's coming from. There's a difference between, you know, you're calling it one way. Like, basically, let's throw the rough and the passer thing. You, for what you call on Tom Brady, you won't call on Cam Newton. You know, stuff like that. Inconsistency. That's what it is.
Agreed.
Everything's so inconsistent, especially that. The pass interference and targeting penalty, that should have been a double penalty right there. But what Saint fans don't understand and Saint players don't understand, that shouldn't have been the only thing that lost you the game. You blew a 13-point lead.
At home.
At home!
Against a team they've beaten twice already, once in the preseason, once like a month or two ago.
Exactly. You destroyed them. And now you're letting a guy that's as old as me, as a head coach, against Tom Brady, who's older than him, Sean McVay. There's a video going out. Played at Miami, Ohio. Quarterback at Miami, Ohio. Played against Julian Edelman.
I know. I saw it, actually. It was funny.
Insane.
That's gonna be one of the most overplayed videos of the Super Bowl. That, you know, the
Wayne Haskins committing to Ohio State as an 8-year-old.
Yeah, that's basically going to be the Super Bowl version of the Dwayne Haskins video. Mark it down.
Right. But that's where I'm coming from. Shut up. I love Michael Thomas, but Saint fan, you know who's being quiet about it? Drew Brees. Taking the stride, say you're coming back next year. You're going to go to the Super Bowl next year. Because way this league is, way people say it's rigged and stuff, they'll get the revenge and you'll see New Orleans in the Super Bowl next year. Because honestly, if you really think it's rigged, look back down to it. All this Patriots dynasty started when they played the Rams in a dome. The only thing they don't have is Adam Vinatieri to bail them out. So, I mean, maybe this could come to an end, and maybe that's why Roger Goodell the refs made that call. Maybe this could be the end of the Patriots dynasty where Belichick and Brady go off in the sunset with 6 Super Bowls.
I doubt it because they're going to want a 7th. And then next year they're going to want an 8th and then a 9th. They're like the White Walkers, man. These guys just don't go away. At this point, I've grown to just appreciate them. I hate the Patriots, but I can like, when you watch them play Big Cass, I'm just like, wow. They're a machine. And
yeah,
they still... Yeah, it's like, it's been like almost 18, 19 years, and they're still doing the same thing. It's amazing. And I'm a Broncos fan. I've seen my Super Bowl a couple years ago. They've been the two in the most a couple years ago, so I can die happy. But just watching Brady, I went from hating him to just, I can't stop watching him. It's amazing.
It's Kobe.
Yeah, it's like Jordan or like LeBron. Like, it's just like, you know he's going to get his.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Exactly. Good luck to the three Buckeyes participating in it. We got John Simon of the Patriots. He's a defensive end. We have
Nate Ebner,
yes, special teamer for the Patriots. And then we got Jake McQuaid, long snapper for the Rams.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, good luck to them.
I think next week we'll dive more into that matchup, make our predictions. I mean, I'm sure we both got the same winner for that, but we'll dive into it next week. A lot to talk about next week.
A lot. But yeah, this does it for another episode of A Bunch of Nuts podcast. Make sure to check us out on BigSportsBulletin.com. We also have a lot of great Ohio State and Big Ten, NFL, MLB, and NBA articles. And other shows on there. So check us out at www.bigsportsbulletin.com. Go Bucks.